So as rumor kind of has it, I think Anais and Jeff have left the building. And I think they're going to go over to see where Layla might be getting baptized today. Is that correct? Is that what's going on? Yeah. So do you remember that Jeff, Anais, Layla, and Sergio all went to life together? And we prayed hard. We as elders, we prayed hard. We were like, are these people really you want to send there, you know? That's a pretty big expense, and the congregation contributed a lot to make sure that that happened and that they went. And then Layla wasn't coming here. And so you kind of felt like, and then you hear that she's in another church getting baptized. So just so you know, scriptures are pretty clear, you know. One plants, right? One waters. Another harvests, right? So it takes all of us. It truly does. I understand about being a kingdom pastor and a kingdom minister. I love New Life Alliance Church, but we must recognize that we are something, part of something that is so much bigger. Amen? And we're a missions-minded church, and these things are happening right here. There's things like this going on all around the world, and God is being glorified and doing what God can do, and only what God can do. And we're studying in the book of Romans. We're going to be in Romans for the next several weeks, probably 15 weeks or so. We're going to uncover the mystery and some of the intensity of the gospel. And through the book, we'll cover many systematic theological issues. Some of them can be pretty deep: justification and election and sanctification, God's righteous judgments, God's faithfulness. Some of the things we'll be talking about: God is our peace, God is our hope and our salvation. We're going to discuss worship, we're going to discuss humility, we're going to discuss living a life through the Holy Spirit of God. In this book, we'll begin to understand a little bit more of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is more than facts to be believed. It is also a life to be lived. Have you ever felt like no matter how hard you tried, you still fell short? It never seemed to be quite enough. No matter how much you prayed, no matter how much you studied the Bible, no matter how much you strived to live right, no matter what you tried to do, something inside of you keeps you or whispers to you, you're not doing enough. Or you're not good enough. If grace is free, why do I feel like I have to earn it? If you've ever wrestled with guilt, struggled with sin, or felt like you had to prove yourself to God, you're not alone. And this is what we're going to be pulling out of the book of Romans. Walking as a follower of Christ takes over every part of your life. It's not just a religious belief system. It's a way of life system. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of acting. It's a way of communicating. Here, right in the first chapter, Paul lays down the foundation for his writing, even right into the instructions. For Paul, it was all about Jesus. Since his first encounter and the road to Damascus, Paul had only one purpose. He had one vision. He had one mission. He had one goal. And that was to share Jesus Christ with the world. Our fellowship would do well to hold on to that same purpose, that same mission, and that same goal. Paul understood that he was nothing and God was everything. Paul understood that without the intervention of God in his life, he was cursed and he was separated from God. It's no wonder that in the first few paragraphs he writes, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Paul was not ashamed because it represents the fulfillment of everything that he had once believed. He was a Pharisee. He was a very religious man. And he saw God delivering on all the promises that he understood to be truth. He understood Old Testament truths. And he believed that the Messiah, that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, Emmanuel, was the fulfillment of everything that he had believed and understood that was going to come to pass. He got it. It clicked for him. And it changed his life. And the promise comes through the prophets. There's your first one, by the way. The promise came through the prophets. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. God foretold what was coming. God foretold how this would be. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? Good news? Good news? What does that mean? Good news. That Jesus Christ came to this earth for the forgiveness of sins, buried, 3 days later, rose again? Is that the promised gospel? Is that what was prophesied in the Old Testament that would find its fulfillment in somebody somewhere along the way? I think that's probably pretty good news for Paul. If he has a revelation and an understanding that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, Spirit became flesh, died for the forgiveness of our sin, was buried, and 3 days rose again. He knew Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, we were saved by faith. There was no Jesus. There was no Messiah. All there was a promised one. There is one that's going to be coming soon. When are we going to start? Soon. When are you coming again, Lord? Soon. See, Paul knew that. He believed that. He studied that. And now he sees the promise fulfilled. It changed everything about everything that he understood. See, they looked forward to the Messiah with hope and with anticipation. We look back with gratitude and thankfulness and understanding. Paul was right in the middle, right there at that transition point in time. The Old Testament was fulfilled. It was filled with prophecy foretelling the coming of Jesus Christ. There were over 300 prophetic utterances of the coming of the Messiah where they were fulfilled by Jesus. The odds are staggering that only a few of the prophecies would even be fulfilled. Forget about hundreds of prophecies being fulfilled within one man. His deity is proved through the fact that only God could have ordered such a thing and planned such a thing or authored such a foreknowledge. Born in Bethlehem, born a virgin, a prophet like Moses, tempted by Satan, enter Jerusalem triumphantly. He will be rejected by his own. He will be betrayed by a friend for 30 pieces of silver. The list goes on and on and on. Tormented, beaten, no broken bones, buried in a rich man's grave. He will die as a sin offering, raised from the dead, and he will sit at the right hand of the Father. This is not New Testament rhetoric. That's Old Testament fulfillment. Can you see it? Do you get it? And can you understand where Paul made a transition in his life when he had an encounter with Jesus? It changed everything about the way he thought. And it changed the direction of his life. This is Paul just declaring the truth, declaring the good news has come. The Messiah has come. The fulfillment of all that we've ever hoped for and wanted. We read the testimonies and we realize this is truly the Son of Man. This is truly the Son of God. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Merry Christmas! Didn't we just celebrate that? The Spirit became flesh and dwelt among us. For unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. God himself promises through the prophets, and God himself fulfills all those prophecies. God was always looking out for his creation. God was always planning. God was always providing. God was always paving a way. There is nothing in all creation that could alter God's love for you. His desire has always been that you would be with him throughout all of eternity. God made a way. And here's your next one. God has a plan. God has a plan. They believe that? God had a plan. God has a plan. And he's unfolding it before us. And he's revealing it to us. God has a plan for all creation. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for your salvation. God has a plan for Jesus' triumphal return. Maybe I don't understand it completely. Maybe you don't understand it completely. But can you trust that God has a plan? Has a plan for a new heaven and a new earth. Can you trust this? Here's your next slide. That God has a plan, and it's a good plan. It's a good plan. What God is doing is good. He has a plan for your life, and it's good. Don't make plans for 2026 without consulting God, because God has some plans for you. Do you believe that? You might want to ask him about it. You might want to pray about it. You might want to walk with him through the next year. And from what we can even begin to understand about this plan, he fills you with his power to accomplish his wonderful tasks, to bring about his plans. This is in you and through you. I know you think it's all about you, but the world does not revolve around you. God places himself in you, fills you with the Holy Spirit of God, that you might be empowered to live out his plan for you and for your life. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. We are living out the scriptures. We are living out God's plan. And his plan is a good plan. Or you're living out your plan. With his plan comes power, with privilege. There's your next one. This great and wonderful good news, this gospel, finds its way into your heart. And it changes you like it changed Paul. It changed Peter. It changed Luke. It changed Stephen. It changed me. It changed Melinda. It changed Tina. It changes you. If the gospel of Jesus Christ has changed you, give me an amen. Amen. And how about the rest of you? He has redeemed each of us from going down the wrong roads, from doing the wrong things, from all the negative thinking, from our troublesome and hurtful ways. He's redeemed us from lost to found, from darkness to light. Has he changed you? And how has he changed you? Paul got revelation, and so did each and every one of us. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, give him a clap. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Praise be to God. I can't even begin to comprehend where my life would be without God's leading. I don't even want to know where I would be without God's leading. God showed himself to you that you might consider his powerful works, his creation, his creativity, and his love. God's glory shining through you. God's glory filling up your soul. You are valuable and you are desired and you are capable and you are empowered and you are given great privilege by God. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed. It's revealed to you. Now watch, listen. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth in their own wickedness. There's a lot of revelation going on. There's a lot of eye opening going on. God revealing himself through his creation. God revealing himself through the good news and the gospel and your understanding of what he is doing. God revealing himself through wrath. Now, I know that we often think of God's wrath as powerful thunderstorm and earthquakes and lightning, and it all comes down in tragedy and the destruction of God, and it's the wrath of God is behind it. Oh, my goodness. The wrath of God is him simply pulling away. And it's being revealed even now. He simply leaves you to your own way. He turns you over to your own sin-soaked, immoral, corrupt, deceitful ways. He just withdraws. Many ask him to leave. We don't want you, God. We don't need you, God. We don't want prayer in our schools. We don't even want you to be reminded of you. Depart from our home. We don't want to pray in this house. We're not going to honor God in this house. We're not going to pray for our children in this house. Just step away, God. Go be over there. Don't be here. The choices that you've made, God simply loves you enough to let you go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you revealed yourself to me and you saved me from myself. Here's your next slide. So you don't understand salvation until you realize you've been saved from yourself and your own ways and your own thoughts and your own plans, which are not of God. And listen, can you see the decay? We can see that in ourselves, the propensity, proneness to wander. We can see it in our own society. Infected more and more, hatred, greed, self-centeredness, ungodliness, confusion, And listen, this too prophesied. This too predicted. His power being revealed to us to be able to see the unfolding of his wrath. You should consider that a privilege that we know, that we can see it. God's plan unfolds. He did not leave us in the dark. He has enlightened you to see the darkness. Can you see it? Do you recognize it? Or are you so much enveloped in the dark, you don't even know you're in the dark? But when God shows you himself and gives you the eyes of Christ and the mind of Jesus to see, you see things like the wrath of God when he simply pulls himself away, and what happens? Now, the issue is, how do you handle what you know? How do you handle that which you've been given? Some folks do not handle being in the know very well. It's way too stressful for them. They fear what's coming. They fear God's plan unfolding. They look at it and they go, it's all falling apart. And God has prophesied and predicted, no, it's finally all coming together. And if you see that, man, are you blessed. Man, God has revealed something to you, and you are indeed privileged. What do you do with that? The recognition is that he has not turned you over to your depraved mind. The Lord himself has revealed to you, and you've accepted that truth and to see it as truth. Jesus, resurrected from the dead. What is so powerful even about the gospel? What is so powerful about our salvation? See, the gospel saves. The knowledge enlightens you. God's not withholding anything from you. The gospel reveals, the gospel redeems, the gospel brings life. It brings eternal life. Your spirit saw the light of the world. And you can see the Lord in all of creation. You can see the Lord in all of the beautiful creation. You see the Lord in people, and you love as God loves. You can see the Lord in the mountains and the trees and the streams and the sunrise and the sunsets. And Paul's pretty clear. Since the very beginning, God has been revealing himself through creation. But I must remind you of this. Here's your next slide. Remember to worship the Creator, not the creation. You can get lost in this world of distractions. And I think if you get lost in this world of distractions, your sights are way too low. Way too low. This is a privilege in the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. God showing himself and enlightening you. God walking with you in the midst of all the chaos that's going around. In the midst of God's plan unfolding as he has prophesied and predicted. We see it. And if you see it again, how blessed are you? The Word of God is active and it's alive. It's dwelling within you. The gospel of Christ is active and alive. And he's performing and he's working within you. And he's preparing you. Is God at work in your life? That's just a question you have to ask yourself. Whether you believe that or you don't. God is at work in my life. And then how? How? What is he doing? The gospel that Paul preached was prominent in his life. The gospel drove him. The understanding and the revelation drove him. It was working in his life every single day. Just like it is in you. This gospel that you proclaim, this faith that you possess, it must not be just a knowledge faith. It can't be just that you can recite, you know, scripture and name all the addresses. And it's not that. It can't be just that. It must be a working faith. It has to work in our lives. If we believe God is at work in our lives, well, I want to know, how is he doing that? What is he doing? How is he working in my life? I know he's working in my life. I know he's working in your life, but he's probably doing something in your life that's very different than what he's doing in my life. But nonetheless, God is working, doing amazing things. Here's what the gospel at work is going to do for us. Here's your first one. Gospel at work, it'll set us apart. If the gospel's working in your life, if Christ is working in your life, you will be set apart. And you will look weird, you will think weird compared to the rest of the world. And seemingly more and more, I feel separated from the world, and I am. And seemingly, it feels like I am more alienated from the aspirations of the world, what they define as success, what they define as moving forward, what they define as climbing the ladder, what they define, I feel more and more alienated from the world because I'm set apart. From the world. It has no hold. Less and less distracting. Separated from even the Western mindset, a very American Western mindset of what success might look like. For those that are sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, the world will seem very foreign. I cannot understand why they do the things they do, think the things that they think, walk the ways that they walk. And you shouldn't. You've been set apart. You see things from an eternal perspective, not a worldly perspective. You see things from a godly perspective, not this temporary things where rust, decay, fade away. And then the gospel will structure our lives. There's your next one. The gospel will structure our lives. Or at least it should. What form of gospel do you follow? What form of scripture do you follow? I believe 7 out of the 10 commandments, so I'll just stay with that. Is the gospel a partial obedience for you, or are you all in? See, do you want all of God in your life, but you don't want God to have all of your life? You water down sin to justify your actions. You don't believe that the wrath of God is active now. If you can see the falling away, particularly of the world and society, you've seen a truth. Do you see yourself prone to wander? God's revealing to you a truth about who you are. He's at work in you, trying to structure your life. The gospel structures our lives, and it teaches us, and it guides us, and it instructs us, and it is a gift from God to say, here you go, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? The gospel gives us good news on how to live our lives. And God prophesied that with his power, it is possible. Because you can't do it. The love that you must give is not your own. Because it's Christ dwelling within you. It's not I that live anymore, but Christ within me. I died. I buried myself a long time ago that Christ might live within me, that his light might shine into the world, because I don't know that I have a lot of light for the world. I feel who I am. I have vengeance and revenge and intolerance. I know that's within me. Anybody else? You're just lying to yourself if it's not. The love that you must give us can't be of your own. God gives you himself. That Christ in you does it. Forgiveness? Are you kidding me? The forgiveness that you must give is not of your own, but of Christ within you. Are you all in? Well, you know, I like that mercy and that grace thing, and yeah, sure, I'm okay with the love, but forgiveness? No, 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 no. Then you're not all in. You're not all in. You're either all in or you're not in. The mercy and the grace and the compassion that you give is not of your own, but it is of Christ within you. There is no way you're going to be able to pray for your enemy. You can't do it. But somehow, with the eyes of Christ and the fulfillment, the prophecy and the Holy Spirit of God within you, you are capable of. Because he saw you when you were his enemy and loved you. This is how we're supposed to live our lives. This is 2026 coming up. We have to have less of ourselves and more of Christ. We're to live by a spiritual standard, not a physical one. The spirit carries on through all eternity. Your flesh will die and decay. Which one are you going to follow? Follow your eternal soul and spirit that God is leading you. You live with eternity in mind, not with physical death. You make moral decisions, not emotional ones. You make moral decisions, not financial ones. You have an altruistic type of worldview, which is very selfless and humble. The gospel will transform you. Your life will serve as a living witness of what God can do in the midst of someone's life. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. That he would dwell within you and show himself to the world. And then the gospel does this. Your last one here, I think. The gospel will send you out. He sends you out. The assurance of your salvation, I'm saved, praise be to God, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, hallelujah, that is not the end. Perhaps that's really just the beginning. The good news will send you out. You begin to understand that it's that what God has done for you. And then you realize he did all this for me. And at some point you get beyond yourself. And you realize, why did he do this for me? And you realize it was never really all about you. Because I can promise you, your life is not about something, it's about someone. You are God's plan to be revealed. You are his hands and his feet, his mouthpiece. And listen, you are a masterpiece. You are a masterpiece of God's work. I know he's still working on you. He's still working on me. But you are a masterpiece, and God is doing wonderful things. A wonderful, glorious result of and part of God's plan. God has a plan. God has a very good plan. God's plan involves you. It's awesome what God has prepared for you. He's been writing a storyline and performing great miracles all along the way to bring you to this place, to this very moment, to sit in that very chair, to hear this very voice, that you might be transformed in the power of Jesus Christ. Let's live our lives in the light of the gospel. The good news of what he has done for us and what he wants to do through us. And listen, as I looked toward 2026, I looked back at 2025 and I realized I am so grateful that there is communion for the forgiveness of my sins. I wasn't perfect in 2025. Anybody? Yeah. So in this place, this day, communion is a repentance for our past, but it's also an anticipation and the fulfillment of what God will do with us in the future. He washes us clean, and he makes us whole by his power and his grace and his mercy. Pray that we would take communion together with those thoughts in mind. I've asked that the elders would come forward, we'll distribute communion, and then we'll just reminisce. We'll think, and we'll ask the Lord to forgive us, and then to refresh us and restore us for a new year that's to come. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, I pray that you might prepare our hearts, Father, to receive that which you would have for us this very day. Father, I thank you that you bind us together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that you unite us by your Holy Spirit. And Father, we remember what Christ has done for us.